Friends, we need to chat. As the days count by, I can't help but think about the shift from the first half to the second half of the year. 2024 is flying by so fast. I want to give you a heads up that I'm hosting a free mid-year reboot event at the end of June. It's called Start Fresh, and it's exclusively for email subscribers. I'll be teaching how to untangle all of your projects and ideas to create a motivating plan for scrapbooking during the rest of 2024. The event will also feature a special offer for a no-subscription membership that is only available once per year. To lead up to this exclusive event, I'm also sharing some of my best secrets for scrapbooking more consistently with my email subscribers. If you are not getting emails from me, from Jennifer Wilson from Simple Scrapper, make sure you press pause on this episode and head over right now to simplescrapper.com/focus. Simply enter your information and you'll be all squared away. Plus, I'll send you the Focus Finder, our favorite tool that you can start using immediately. I'll see you over there.
And she said, when I started scrapbooking, I had to follow these rules, or I thought I had to follow these rules. And she said, and then you taught me in mixed media that you can't control it. And she said, it's made such a huge difference that I'm able to let go and enjoy this so much more, because really, it's only paper and ink. And she said, whatever happens is going to happen, and I'll make it work, and my pictures are still getting put on the page.
Welcome to Scrapbook Your Way, the show that explores the breadth of ways to be a memory keeper today. I'm your host, Jennifer Wilson, owner of Simple Scrapper and author of The New Rules of Scrapbooking. This is episode 18. In this episode, I'm joined by Sarah K. Strickland, one of our creative team members and a dedicated creator of mixed media backgrounds. Our discussion explores some of our favorite techniques, but focuses on accepting permission to start with art. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Good, thanks. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I am great. I'm so excited to talk to you. You are on our old Members Only podcast, and we had some really good discussions, and I've just loved your contributions to our team all these years.
Oh, thank you. It's been awesome being on it.
Can you kick things off a little bit and share a little bit about yourself to give our audience some context?
Well, I'm a single mom. I have two kids who are 10 and 11 and a half. I live in Newfoundland on the very most easterly point of North America in Canada. And I love to scrapbook. I love to teach classes. I love to read a lot. And I work from home. I have a home daycare, so I'm surrounded by children all day long. So scrapbooking and reading are kind of my decompression time from lots of little children.
So Sarah, what's one thing that's exciting you right now, or more than one thing if you have something in mind?
In scrapbooking right now, new alcohol ink pearls. I'm really loving the distress oxides. I have been using a lot. Really love the colors and the formulation of those. And Paige Evans lately, her last two lines, I think it's Horizon and Whimsical. I'm really loving the colors and patterns that she's been using a lot. So they've been really inspiring me lately.
Yeah, I picked up a few pieces from Horizon and I really like it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So what's exciting me right now is our brand new class that we just released. Actually, today that we're recording this, the podcast will be come out a few days later, and it's called Mixed Media Backgrounds for Beginners. This is one of our pop-up workshops. And so the whole concept behind the pop-up workshops is they are small classes that are designed to have roughly like a year, maybe more lifespan, but on topics that are either trending or things that might even change a bit. So our first pop-up was on apps. And that's certainly a topic where things are always changing and our top apps for scrapbookers a year from now are going to be totally different probably than they are today.
Oh, for sure.
And mixed media is certainly a trend. We're going to talk a lot about that in this conversation. And I've had a lot of questions from our members who maybe haven't played much with the wet stuff, but they're curious to get started. So this is a very beginner level class sharing 7 different techniques with some variations on each one. And I'm so excited to share it with our community.
I actually went through the mixed media backgrounds for beginners today.
Awesome.
Loved it. So even for somebody who does a lot of mixed media, it really brought me back to, oh, I've forgotten about that, or, you know, less is more, or I have to try that out again. So it was actually really good for me to even go back in and watch. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I am so glad you said that, because you're very much a role model to me in terms of getting out there and playing with different mediums all the time. And I think I'm like a intermediate practitioner, but you're maybe, you know, an advanced guru in this domain.
Well, thank you.
So I really appreciate you saying that. And I'm glad you had a chance to go through it already.
I did. I really liked it.
Cool. All right. So one of the reasons I wanted to have this discussion with you was not just to share about your process in doing mixed media backgrounds and the techniques and products you like to use, but also to talk about starting points in scrapbooking. I think there's this concept that we have that we should be starting with story, but I think there's an important permission that we want to offer the community at large, is that it's okay to start with art, and it's actually okay to start wherever you want as long as it's fun for you and it's helping you get started.
Yes, and I find that really interesting that you say that, because for me, starting with story is probably the last thing I do. I almost always start with art.
And it doesn't mean you're not bringing the story into the page. It's just how your brain and even your heart wants to, you know, communicate what's going on and express yourself on the page. We all need different things from our crafting and from our scrapbooking hobby. And I think we're going to get into some of what maybe this does a little differently.
I definitely am still able to tell the story, but it comes afterwards for sure. Whereas I know a lot of people do say, I have this story, I have to tell it, but I usually, I guess, go backwards than that.
Well, I want to not call that backwards. I want to call that just your way of getting started.
Yes, for sure.
So maybe we can start by sharing some of our favorite starting points in general. So I know that I've, and part of why I wanted to teach this class and have this conversation with you is that when I'm feeling stuck or blocked or frustrated, creating something on a page, any kind of artwork, whether it's going to become a scrapbook layout or becomes nothing, is definitely my mode of expression. It always has been my entire life. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that I can bring that into my scrapbooking is fun. And it's probably one of the most natural ways that I get started.
It's funny because I ran into an old friend just last week and we were just reminiscing, and she said to me, I was going through a box the other day, and she said, do you know what I found? And I said, no. And she said, I found a card that you made. And this was when we were in university, which was more years ago than I care to think about. And she said, she turned it over and on the back of it, it said copyright Sarah Things. And that's what my blog name is, and that's what my name is on most of my social media. And I said, oh, that's funny. I didn't realize I'd been using it that long. And she said, yes. And she said, you had paint on it, and you had, like, she said, I don't know what you had on it, but it had all this texture on it. So I've been doing this type of thing for a long time. Yeah. And then I mentioned it to my dad. Guess what my friend found? And he's like, he said, I have cards from when you were 3 or 4, he said, and you have Sarah Things written on them. So it's something that for me has been going on, obviously, my whole life.
Wow. I mean, that's some really consistency in branding there.
And I had no idea.
That's super cool. Mm-hmm. So what are some of your other favorite starting points? Now, being on the creative team, you're given each month a sketch and a story prompt to start from. I'm guessing one of those maybe is a little easier for you than the other.
The sketch is definitely easier for me. And sometimes for me, it's definitely a jumping off point rather than following it completely. For example, the June sketches that are coming out that I've just finished working with, I used a lot of those Paige Evans Horizon papers because they really inspired me. But I went way off. So the sketch was, for me, it's like, oh, I really like that shape. And then I just went from there. So I laid down what I wanted, and I'm like, okay, now I have all these pretty papers. Now what do I put on it? Mm-hmm. So I definitely, a lot of the time, start with that background and start with the papers or start with the ink that's inspiring me. And then I go, now what do I add to this? What story am I going to put on this page?
So it's very much like a playful beginning of how do I want to make something that looks good to me on the page? And then we figure out where this is going to go.
Right.
I like that. I think that creates a lot of freedom to just see where it goes. And maybe you don't even, let me say this a different way. I'm guessing that sometimes you create a background that maybe you don't scrapbook with right away.
I have a lot of backgrounds just lying around.
That's what I thought.
With nothing else on them.
And then maybe sometime a story would pop up and they're like, oh, I know exactly what I can use that for now. But you have to wait for it to, you know, that, I don't know, serendipity to happen, I guess.
Yeah, and that happens. And then sometimes I find I don't use them at all, but they serve their purpose in getting out, I guess, whatever I needed to get out. Like, for example, when I was separating from my husband, I spent a lot of time throwing paint on paper, mm-hmm. a lot of time. And a lot of those backgrounds I've never used, but it was still very much my creative outlet. And now, even now, if I pull one out, I'm like, oh, I remember exactly how I was feeling when I did this. And yes, now I know what picture I need to put on here. And sometimes I find for those, it's, you know, the tougher stories that you want to tell. You kind of need that background that's not so clean and perfect.
So there's certainly an emotional component and that your memory is going into that creation and it sounds like it comes back quickly when
yes.
you pick it up again, and it gives almost this mood or context to where you might go with it next.
Oh, for sure.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
I can imagine there's times where I've created something and I'm like, I may never pick that up again because I was using that as a tool to release a feeling or release a situation. And then I'm like, I'm done with that. I want to put a box on it. I don't need to do more with that.
No. And there are times that I have made those backgrounds and went, okay, that got it out. And I throw them in the garbage because I know I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen very often. But there are times that, yeah, for sure, it's a creative outlet. And then I throw it away and I move on. But a lot of times it's not that emotional. Most times it's, oh, here's a new product or here's a product I haven't played with in a while and mm-hmm. I really want to play around with it. And I make a bunch of backgrounds and then I have ones to go to work with. And a lot of times I'll look at sketches that we have for our creative team and I think, oh, I remember I did a background that has lines on it like that template does. So that's going to be a great background for me to start with that template and move on from there.
Very cool. Very cool. I want to underscore one point, though, is that if there's this idea in scrapbooking that we have to keep being productive and we can't waste time. And while I do feel that sense of pressure because, you know, life is short, time is fleeting, but art is worth it for art's sake, even if
yes.
it's not related to scrapbooking. And maybe it starts off with, oh, this could be a background for a scrapbook page. And then you get into it so much and you decide this is not scrapbooking, this is art. That's okay. It's okay to have mm-hmm. both together and separate.
It's interesting that you started that with, you know, there's this idea that we don't want to waste time. And I go to at least 2 to 4 scrapbook retreats a year. For several days at a time. Mm-hmm. And there are times that I'll sit there and make a background and I'll put it aside and do nothing with it. And I've had people come up to me before and say, what are you going to do with that? And I say, I have no idea. And they will say, well, why did you waste your time making it?
Wow.
And I will say to them, it's not a waste because I was feeling creative and it was fun to do. And now I'm moving on to something else. So I really don't look at it as a waste of time at all.
Yeah, never.
because I might use it later. And if I didn't, I was still able to be creative and have fun and be around people I enjoyed. So,
well, and I think so often that type of expression, at least for me, is a great warm up. Whether or not I end up using it, it's a way for me to make that transition from the swirling, buzzing in my head of everything going on in real life to creating. Because sometimes it's really hard to make that transition, to get out of your head and get into that creative state. And making art for the sake of art is one way that helps me do that.
Yes. It's almost like people who are very much paper scrapbookers, when you have a new pack of paper, it's making that first cut. Yeah. So making that first background is what lets you then move on and make everything else. It's like that first cut that you're scared to make. Once you make it, the creative juices just flow.
Well, and I think the new supplies and the love of product is a similar conversation here, is that you can start a page because you have new product and you want to play with it. It's the same concept that's okay. That's not wrong. That's not backwards.
Right. Totally agree with that.
So let's dig a little bit into your process. What are some of your favorite mediums to work with? You already mentioned alcohol inks. Could you tell us like maybe what type of canvas, what type of paper you're traditionally working on, and, you know, what are your go-to things?
I work almost exclusively on Canson watercolor paper. I know you use the mixed media paper. I use the watercolor, which is a bit heavier.
It is.
Yeah. And I also use Bristol paper. I very, very rarely use a cardstock background. Like, if I have a plain paper background, it's going to be watercolor paper.
Well, just the challenge with cardstock is that with any kind of liquid, it tends to just destroy the surface really quickly.
It does, yeah. For sure. And it also means that even if I think I'm just going to do a paper background, if I get partway through and decide I want to put something else on it, I'm able to do that without wrecking the paper.
So I think that's a good perspective, is that your starting point, your white cardstock is watercolor paper.
Yes. Plus, I also like that the watercolor paper is slightly off-white.
Oh, interesting.
So I do like that it's not bright white.
That's one thing that I don't like about it.
I know. It's funny. I'll listen to a lot of YouTube videos and people are like, I finally found a watercolor paper that's bright white. And I think, why? Why do you want that?
Which I one like is it? What's the secret one?
I don't remember, but okay. Christina Werner and Jennifer McGuire both use a bright white watercolor paper. So
I will have to investigate and try to put that in the show notes. Yeah. Okay, so you start with watercolor paper, so it's traditionally 140-pound paper, so that's pretty sturdy. Because I did have, when I was using this mixed media paper, and it was 90-pound. Now, they also have a 98-pound version, and it buckled a little bit, but I was able to flatten it out, and I just wanted something that was kind of quick and easy, and I wanted something that was a good entry point for our students in the class, just because I know that watercolor paper can get a little pricey.
Yes. Now, I find the Canson is actually really reasonable. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly limited here where I can buy things if I'm buying them at an actual store. So we have Michaels here. Mm-hmm. And I find even without the coupon, it's still cheaper for me to buy that than it is to buy cardstock.
Oh, that's a good point.
So it is a really reasonably priced background anyway. I buy it in the pad and I buy the 12 by 18 so I can cut it down to 12 by 12 and I still have a 6 by 12 piece for cards or for playing with, or I can cut it down to two 8.5 by 11s if I'm doing a smaller size.
Nice.
So I find it's just really versatile.
Okay. So now when you're ready to put your wet stuff on the page, what kind of wet stuff are you using?
My go-to is generally my distress inks or distress oxides. Okay. That is number one. So I will either use them similar to watercolors or I will smush them onto my nonstick craft mat, mist them with water and just drag my paper through it. So I stamp with them. So I do a lot of different things like that with them.
Well, that creates a lot of versatility in terms of it being in a pad format means you can use stamps with it. But then the type of medium that it is also means you can use other liquids with it to make it do different things.
Right. Sometimes I'll mist it with water. Sometimes I'll mist it with a shimmer spray so I have some sparkle. There's a lot of different things you can do with it. So when I have friends say, what should I get to start doing mixed media? I always say watercolor paper and distress ink or distress oxide because they're just very so true, versatile. Very true.
And I didn't include that specific product in my class at all. So this is a great like accessory, kind of a bonus class for that. So
exactly. What I did find interesting is I love using alcohol inks. And one of the things that I really like about mixed media is that you can go on YouTube and you can Google videos and you can do your mixed media background for beginners class. And you see how you're supposed to use things. And then you can branch out. So alcohol inks are supposed to be used on glossy, slick surfaces. Correct. So they move. But what I found interesting is that I did a full class on how to use alcohol inks in a different way. And I put them on over gesso, so they moved a little bit, as you did. And then I also just put them directly on the watercolor paper. So I found it really interesting that you did something similar, because most people don't think to use them on a porous surface. It flicks really well. Like if you put it on a paintbrush and flick it so you get little droplets, it's much finer than other things are. And so I like playing with the products in a way that they're not necessarily meant to be played
now,
with.
Are you getting your hands all kind of inky messy in this process?
Yes. And I know a lot of people have an issue with that.
Well, I think it's just it's important to know what you're working with when you get started and to take the precautions that you desire. Sometimes that might be somebody uses gloves or protects their surface more, and other people maybe don't care as much. And it's just, you know, knowing what to expect from the start.
And again, I'm in a job where I work from home and I work with children, so it doesn't matter what my hands look like. So I don't need to worry about going into a formal office the next day with, you know, red hands or anything. That doesn't really matter.
What are some of the tools or other products that you use? I'm assuming you're using, maybe using some paintbrushes in here, misters.
I use paint. Yeah, I use the mister bottle from Ranger. I use a lot of Ranger products. I just find their products are really good. So the mister bottle I use a lot because you can do a really fine mist or you can do droplets. So you can get different techniques from one bottle. I do have some really good paintbrushes, but my go-to paintbrushes, because it doesn't matter because they're cheap, are, again, the ones from Ranger. They used to be the Claudine Helmuth brand, but now they're Ranger branded. And they're just an excellent paintbrush, like an all-around basic paintbrush. So I find them really good. I also use a lot of washi tape because the type of mixed media I do is not necessarily the messiest. I still like things to be fairly clean and simple. So I actually taught a full year class that was called A Little Bit Messy.
I love that.
And it was all mixed media backgrounds, but it was for people who didn't want to get their hands messy. And a lot of that I would mask off borders so that we would do a really what you would think would be a really messy background, but then you peeled off the washi tape and you had this very straight frame around it. So it was all very contained. Or we would use mist. And again, we would, like you did, we would put it in the box and we would mist and, excuse me, and then we would you know, dab it off with our paper towels so that you don't have any of the wet coming back out with you. So there are ways to do all of these products. And I know a lot of people get scared off by mixed media because they think it's so messy and there's so many products that you need. But really, you can make it very clean if you want to.
Very clean. And also, there's probably products in your house that you already have. Like, just because you're going to do watercolors doesn't mean you need to go out and buy a nice watercolor set or the distress inks. You can use your kids' watercolor set.
I was just about to say my very favorite blue watercolor is from the Crayola set that kids get. Yeah. I think it's a set of 12. And the blue in that set is probably my favorite blue watercolor ever. It's, So yeah. It really doesn't have to be, yeah, it doesn't have to be expensive at all.
Well, I love your tips for kind of constraining up boundaries by that using washi tape. And also this idea that we can keep it tidy along the way. And I think the more you practice, the more you'll learn ways to do that. You mentioned misting in the box. I know I've sometimes in the past have misted through things, such as like I'll mist a doily. So then you have, it's kind of using the doily as a stencil.
And then you have the doily that's misted to use somewhere else.
Yeah, that too. So are there any other tips that you've learned over the years that were total light bulb moments when you finally realized, like, that's how you do it, or that's so cool, I'm going to do that forever?
I think I've touched on it. One, to be clean and simple. Like, that was a light bulb moment. Just because it's mixed media doesn't mean that I have to be in a disastrous mess at all times. And my style is bright and colorful, but it's not. I have a friend who does mixed media, and she goes way farther. Like, she'll do 12 and 14 layers, and that's just not me at all. So it was a light bulb moment when I realized I can do mixed media, and it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be what you see online. It can be your style and what you want.
Well, and I think today there's so many color options that you can go bright, you can go more pastel, or I always traditionally have thought of more like grungy vintage colors when I thought of a more elaborate style of scrapbooking or of art. But today we have really whatever direction you want to go with it.
Well, exactly. The other thing that I really learned is to just play. Like, don't let the rules stop you. Like I said about alcohol ink, the rules are that you use that on a non-porous glossy surface so that they move around. Well, why? You know, throw them on some watercolor paper and see what happens. If you don't like it, you've wasted, 10 cents on a sheet of paper?
Yeah. So one of the techniques that I did in the class was this kind of like faux marbling by putting the ink on your surface and then basically dipping your paper in. And it created this like beautiful kind of like one of those like psychologist ink blot images. And because the base is alcohol, it all evaporates really quickly. And then you're just left with this like beautiful, vibrant colors.
Right. So people who are worried about things being wet and taking a long time to dry, that's a perfect example of throw it on there, it's dry instantly, and you can keep going.
Yeah, that one was dry instantly, and then the one that I did on the gesso took quite a bit longer to dry.
Right.
So when you're getting started, how let me phrase this differently. So say you have one of these backgrounds, and you've kind of felt this inspiration of, I want to make a page with this. What do you do next? How do you build that page? I always think of it in terms of like layers. Like, I'm starting here and I'm building up.
I am not a chronological scrapbooker. Never have been. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work for me. So the first thing I do is I go through and I find a picture in my gallery that I like. It doesn't matter what color the picture is. It doesn't matter what color my background is. I just go look for a picture. And if I find a picture I love, I print it off. If the colors clash, I print it in black and white. I use a lot of black and white because it will go with any background that I make.
I especially will do that over the winter with December daily, when my photos are less natural light, you know, beautiful. I will use lots of black and white. And then, as you said, it allows you to merge with any kind of pops of color you want in the background.
Yes, because when I first started scrapbooking, it was all about, okay, I need to find the exact right shade of blue cardstock to go with this picture that's going to match. And it used to stress me out. And then one day I printed a picture in black and white and I laid it down and I'm like, okay, my picture now goes with my background. And look at all these beautiful colors that are popping out that are not fading in to the picture or the picture fading into them. And I realized that all I have to do is I can make whatever background makes me happy, whatever colors that day are going to make me happy. And then any picture that I want, I can make work on that background if I print it black and white.
I love that.
So I no longer have that stress of what colors are going to match. It just works.
Yeah. That's a really common kind of mental challenge isn't quite the right phrase here, but you know, a challenge that we go through in designing a page, we want it to be harmonious. But there's ways around it, and they're often like quick, you know, this is my shortcut for when I have a background and the photo isn't necessarily going to go. I can make it go and move forward from there.
Yeah. Yeah. You asked me earlier about one of my light bulb mm-hmm. moments, and I just thought of one that I used to use a lot. I have a new photo printer now that can print up to 8.5 by 11, but I used to print everything on my selfie.
Okay, yep.
And what I liked about the selfie that a lot of people don't realize is that those pictures are waterproof.
They are, yeah.
So I could stick my picture down. One of the first things, once I made a background, stick the picture down. And then anything I wanted to add on, whether I thought it needed more mist on there or I wanted to flick some paint on, I could do all that. And then I'd take my wet wipe and wipe off my picture.
I love that. You know, the prints from Persnickety Prints are also waterproof. I have like literally painted on one, didn't like it, took it to the sink and rinsed it off, and the photo was fine.
I know. It's genius because you don't have to worry about them at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is the downside for the printing that I do at home now. I don't miss my selfie that much, though, just because I never did like the size of the prints. So.
Oh, see, I always cropped them down so that I didn't have anything being cut off because I had the same issue. It was not a true 4x6, but...
Yeah. I think I did enough. I don't do all pocket pages, but I did enough pocket pages that I still needed to have some true 4x6 in there.
Right. And I didn't have that issue. So that was okay with me. But that whole waterproof picture thing, that was a game changer for me, I have to say. And I kept my selfie even with the new printer so that if I know I'm working on a page and I'm not quite sure where it's going to lead, I will print my picture on that so I can just throw anything I want on that page and not worry about it.
That's a great tip. I think we always want ways to, I don't know, have a plan B or a backup or a fail-safe in case things kind of go awry.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we've all been there where we got some adhesive on top of our photo and then we're like, oh, do we put an embellishment over it? Do we reprint the photo? Do we just leave it? So it's really easy to feel like you've messed up, and anything we can do to kind of prevent that often just relieves a tiny bit of that stress.
Exactly. And it goes back to that whole not wanting to waste time, because time is precious. So if you don't have to reprint pictures or worry about what else you're going to add to your page, it's one less thing that you have to consider and factor in.
Exactly. So kind of going back to what we talked about at the beginning, what do you think makes this process so different?
Like different.
It literally feels different when I am starting by painting on the page than if I'm starting with how do I assemble all the things, or if I'm starting with a story or a photo.
I think that it all comes down to when we all started scrapbooking, there's rules. So these papers go with those papers and everything has to match. And if you're going to use embellishments, make sure the colors are the right colors and that nothing is clashing. And everything lines up and it's straight and it's this and that. So it feels like there's all these unwritten rules that you're supposed to follow. Whereas when it comes to paint and ink and mist, you have to let that go. You can't control where the mist is going to go. If you're going to smush ink colors down on your craft mat and spray them with water and then swipe your paper through it, you don't know what you're going to get. So you have to let go of so much and say, I'm going to just claim some freedom with this and let it be. That I think that's where the big difference for me comes in. I just had to let things go and let it be.
Well, there's a certain like practice in that it may be hard to do that at first, but the more you do it, the more you can let go in this practice, and maybe the more you can let go in other parts of your life too. I'm sure we all have aspects where we're a little too uptight and could relax and be less perfectionistic.
My favorite story along those lines is the very first year I taught a year-long album class was in 2010, I believe. And one of the women in my class, who's been in every class I've ever taught, we had to stamp something on the cover of our album. And hers didn't stamp, and she was ready to throw in the towel and quit the class and be done. And now she will come to one of my classes, and she doesn't even wait for me to give instructions, and she does whatever she wants. And I'm like, we're supposed to. She's like, I don't care. Look, I will make it work. And she said to me one day, I said to her, laughing at her a few months ago, I said, I can't believe how far you have come from freaking out over a stamp not stamping right to whatever, it will be fine, I'm just going to do my own thing. And she said, when I started scrapbooking, I had to follow these rules, or I thought I had to follow these rules. And she said, and then you taught me in mixed media that you can't control it. And she said, it's made such a huge difference that I'm able to let go and enjoy this so much more. Because really, it's only paper and ink. And she said, whatever happens is going to happen, and I'll make it work, and my pictures are still getting put on the page.
I love that. I mean, it just opens up that sense of relaxation and freedom that I think we're seeking yes. from our scrapbooking in a ways that's so that it just... I'm feeling refreshed just thinking about it, I guess.
Me too.
So one thing that when we're talking about rules, I'm curious, do you ever make two-page spreads?
I used to only do two-page spreads. And that was a little bit of my anal retentivity coming through. It was, you know, you open up the scrapbook and you want that pretty layer of two pages. But that was also when I was using postbound albums. So you didn't have yes. that gap in the middle. So you kind of had that two pages that went right across and looked like a nice layout. And then I got to the point that I didn't have enough pictures for two pages. So how am I now going to spread these two pictures over a two-page layout? And I finally had to say, let it go. Just do a page. And now, of course, we're into D-ring albums and the pages are spaced out more so it doesn't bother me in the same way. So I do occasionally make two-page layouts, but not as much anymore. There's something I like about the smaller size of the one page.
Well, I certainly agree with that, especially since I'm scrapbooking even smaller in 6x8 these days. Right. But I do think there is something with that, you know, moving to ring-bound, it creates that separation, as you described, which I think can help those who maybe feel like they have to always make two pages that match, mm-hmm. there is that visual separation now in most albums because, you know, they still sell postbound, but I think a lot of people are choosing to use three ring because it's easier to move things around and all of that.
Exactly.
But I think that's just one more reason why you don't have to unless you want to.
Right. And I have still occasionally made two page spreads. Really depends on, I guess, if you have a whole bunch of pictures that you need to get on a page. But also, you know, my style has changed hugely over the years. So it's just not where my style is right now.
I would say most of the time when I'm doing a two-page, it's often I'm doing something that's kind of more digital or hybrid on one page where I have a photo collage and then I'm doing a more traditional layout to go with it.
Right.
It's very rare that I'm doing like two traditional layouts side by side. It's kind of like a mix and match type of story there.
Yes. And I've done that. If I'm doing a divided page protector, I will make my layout and then I'll probably do a journaling card that still likens back to the original one so that you still have a bit of a flow through.
Mm-hmm. So we keep touching on this idea that there's this, maybe one of the rules today is to start with story. And, mm-hmm. and I think it's so beautiful that we've become so non-thematic in our supplies. Allie Edwards has done an amazing job of giving us different ways to think about telling our stories. And that's valuable because that is an underlying reasoning behind scrapbooking. But it also, I think, it creates this pressure and maybe even a roadblock for some scrapbookers who maybe brains don't start that way. They're not oriented that way. It doesn't mean there's not meaning behind it, but that's not necessarily what gets them to actually start creating.
Yes. And I feel that pressure. I do still get a lot of comments from people saying, how come you don't journal more? And where's all your story? And when your children grow up and look through this, they're going to want the story. They don't care about the pretty paper. Well, you know what? I finally had to realize that I am not doing this for my children. This is my creative outlet. And I would love for them to want this when they grow up. But what it boils down to is this is what I do for me because I love doing it. So why am I going to force myself to write a huge story when that's not what's making me happy? And sometimes it does. Sometimes I write a lot. But it's just, it's not where I start. It's not what makes me happy. Having to start with a story stresses me out. So, you know, who wants to do what's supposed to be enjoyable if it's going to stress them out? So I tell a lot of people now, you know what? You have to do what you want to do. This is for you. So if you want to write one line, then write one line. If you want to write a book, write a book. But you need to start where it makes you happy. If it doesn't make you happy to start with the story, don't worry about it. Your story's still going to get told. It just might get told in a different way than somebody who starts at that end.
Well, and I think one thing we always have to remember is that as scrapbookers, no matter how we do it, we're doing a lot more than somebody who's not a scrapbooker at all.
Exactly.
We have this, you know, we're paying attention to preserving our photos and digital and printed libraries. We're trying to get some of our memories into albums. And that's all great. Everything we can do, I always say this is like a treasure that you can add to this treasure box of your life story. And it's all better than nothing.
Yes. One of my favorite things to remember when I think, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Is I did a class with Dina Wakely one time, and she said, the answer is always yes. Doesn't matter what the question is. So should I start with story? Yes. Should I leave the story out? Yes. Whatever's going to make you happy, whatever the question is, the answer is yes.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you think we should do to kind of shift this conversation more? Is it just, you know, having this discussion on a podcast? How do we help others feel that permission to, to take our own branding here, to scrapbook your way?
I think it's kind of an evolution of your own scrapbooking. I really think that the longer you do it, the more comfortable you get with not only yourself and how you're telling the story, but also how it's all coming together for you. So talking about it this way, I think, gives people almost permission to be themselves and do it the way they want to. Mm-hmm. But I also think the longer you do it, the more that you realize, I don't have to follow somebody else's rules. I get to do what I want because it's my stuff.
I've certainly seen that in talking to scrapbookers, and I think some have made that mental jump from the way they used to do it and the way they want to do it now. And some are just so primed. They're like, something's not working and I don't know what it is. And they just need to like have the door opened up to here's the possibilities for how you might do it differently so that it stays fun and easy.
And I think having a podcast like this where you're talking about it and saying to people, it's okay to do it your way. It doesn't have to be the way you've always done it. I think that's a huge part of it. And that's, you know, people are going to listen to this and go, you know what? That's it. That's the one hurdle I haven't jumped yet, but I can do it.
Well, I certainly hope so. That's one of my main goals in doing this, is to just explore all these different options, because there's no right or wrong way. There's no perfect way. There's just the way that works for you in this particular season of your life, and honoring the fact that that's going to change over time. Sometimes you're going to be really, you know, I guess we could say quote unquote artsy fartsy, and you want to just get all your expression out. And other times you want to get stuff done and, you know, work through those boxes and boxes from, you know, your grandparents and great grandparents. Exactly. We all have different priorities over time.
We do. We do. And I mean, we all go through stages. There are times that I do nothing but mixed media, and there are times that I don't do it at all, depending on how I'm feeling or how much time I have or just what I'm into. Like I said, right now that those two Paige Evans papers are or lines are really inspiring me, and I've been doing a lot with pattern paper rather than pulling out my mixed media supplies. And I'm sure that will shift again in a little while. So
I'm sure it will. So what else, besides working on those with those products, what else do you have new or coming up soon?
Coming up soon. Well, I was going through my stash the other day and rediscovered my Twinkling H2Os, which are a sparkly watercolor. And I got so inspired just looking at those that I have a feeling that that's what's going to be coming up on layout soon. It's lots of that. So more mixed media is really what's kind of on my horizon at the moment. I've got kids who are getting a bit older. Molly's really wanting to do more crafting with me. So mm-hmm. I think that's going to get me more into it, because when she does it with me, she likes to get into, like any child, she likes to get into the messy stuff. She doesn't want to just cut up paper. So for me on the horizon, it's definitely going to be doing more things with my kids and going to be probably all those old supplies that I haven't dragged out in a while. Old becomes new again.
It does, for sure. I love kind of shopping from my own stash and seeing what I can create from that, with that challenge of, oh, you know, you haven't touched this in a while, or maybe it got overlooked or even flagged for getting rid of, but let's give it another chance.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how much we forget about that's in our stash that has been just pushed to the background for a while.
In favor of, you know, something new and shiny. It always happens.
Right. The new and shiny is good too, though.
Well, Sarah, this was a fun conversation. I so hope that our listeners really feel this, I don't know, a new twinkling of creative inspiration, maybe curiosity about mixed media, or curiosity about a different line that maybe you've been, you know, wondering, could I try this? Could I try pocket pages? Could I do photo books? You know, something that's been bubbling up inside of you. I hope if you have that permission to take the leap and to scrapbook your way.